I was surprised to hear that you had not recorded that Scottish Fantasy yet, especially given your connections to it you make out in the program notes. I'm wondering why you decided to do it now. Why hadn't you recorded it in the past?
Well, you know, when it comes to recording, you want to do it when you feel like you've had enough performances under your belt and feel just that your interpretation is formed in a way that you feel ready to put it down. And the Scottish Fantasy, although a piece that I grew up listening to and loved since I was a very early age, I actually didn't get around to learning and performing it until about 10 years ago. So finally, after about 10 years of performing it, and I felt and doing it a lot with this orchestra, with the Academy, I felt we were ready to you know, put it down on disc, as you say, if you can still say that. And so, yeah, I just felt finally ready. And then since I was doing that, I thought, oh, this is a nice opportunity to re-record the Bruch G minor concerto, you know, the staple of the repertoire, which I hadn't done recorded in 32 years. Yeah. I felt ready. You know, I always wanted to do that again because I felt like I've grown a lot with the piece over the years. So it's a nice opportunity for me to put these two Bruch masterpieces together.
Can you talk a little bit about sort of the Scottish connection for you through your father?
Well, you know, I mean, I do identify myself on my father's side as, you know, as being sort of half Scottish. My father identified himself that way, even though, I mean, he was born in America. But he used to talk about his grandfather who fought in the Black Watch for Scotland. He was sort of proud of his Scottish roots. I don't know if that gives me any sort of special right to play this piece or special it doesn't give me any special insights being part of the Scottish club, but I do identify with it, and I've always loved the Scottish the culture through its music. I mean, I've loved pieces that pay homage to that. For instance, Mendelssohn's Scottish Symphony or Scotch Symphony is my favorite of Mendelssohn's, and the Hebrides of Mendelssohn is also one of my favorite pieces. So I've always identified with the Scottish thing, and Bruch does such a beautiful job with that and taking these folk melodies and really makes it his own sort of hybrid sort of piece. But I think it's one of the most beautiful pieces written for the instrument.
And you had heard or you were familiar with some of these melodies outside of the piece itself, right?
Not really. I mean, the melodies are not ones that one would necessarily hear. And he sort of seems to have taken the sort of elements of them and kind of made them, you know, his own. So it's not really that I've, you know, grew up singing these tunes, and he, certainly this the style of it is something that is feels very Scottish, yeah. And there's a kind of lilt and sweetness to the Scottish melodies that informs sort of the way you approach it. You know, you finding the right balance between making it folky and yet it's in the context of a classical piece. You kind of find your own way to balance those elements.
Well, you've programmed that along with, as you mentioned, the first violin concerto. So that sort of invites comparisons between the two in listening to them back to back. And I wonder, are there elements of the concerto that you can hear in the Scottish Fantasy?
Well, there's certainly certain use of instruments and the horns and the way he orchestrates. He has a beautiful way of having the violin solo line sort of converse with the orchestra. There's a lot of back and forth. There's certain similarities. It certainly feels both pieces feel Bruchian in that way, but they're also, you know, they're their own things. The Scottish Fantasy includes the harp, which is very unusual. There's a lot of dialogue between the violin and harp, which gives an amazing color and texture. And the Bruch, the first concerto was written, you know, very early in his life. I think the Scottish Fantasy, kind of does a lot of interesting things that even the concerto doesn't do. But I don't like to really compare them. They're each their own beautiful worlds.
Did you record all of this stuff in the same period of time, or were they separated?
They were separated by a day, I think. Yeah. You know, once you get the studio set up, we did the Bruch one day and the concerto one day and the Scottish Fantasy another day. And after performing it and touring with the piece, you know, so we felt like ready to do it. And that's the way to do it. You know, when I first, you know, recording when I recorded the Bruch concerto, you know, 32 years ago, you know, I just going into the studio without any performances or rehearsals, even it was sort of daunting and not really the way I would recommend making a work record. This way was more natural and felt right.
Those 30 years made a little bit of a difference.
Learned a little something. Over 30, yeah.
Do you remember those recording sessions vividly, going back 3 decades?
I mean, I certainly remember going into the studio. And, you know, it's definitely a different feeling when you're... It's already daunting enough to make a recording, but when you're also, like, seeing an orchestra for the first time and they don't know you. At that point, I was sort of new in my career, so most of them had never heard me play, and there was a feeling of having to prove myself and all these things. All those elements are kind of distractions in a way, you know. So now, you know, with an orchestra that's basically my musical family, we've been touring together, we know each other so well. It's just such a more comfortable experience and I think definitely more conducive to, you know, making music.
Yeah, there's a video available, I believe, of some of the recording sessions. And just to see the communication between you as a conductor and a soloist and the orchestra, you don't really have to do a lot to get them to do what you want.
No, I mean, I think we know each other so well, so it doesn't take a lot. They can insinuate from the way I turn the phrase or from the way I gesture the body language. There's definitely a lot of musical communication between us, but it doesn't always need a lot of talking. We've reached a point that where we really get each other, and even in the moment, like if I decide to take it a different way, I can. They're just ready to adapt and to play off of what I'm doing. And I just love that feeling of chamber music, which you don't always get when you're playing with an orchestra. And I've always approached playing concertos in that way. I've never felt like I should just get in front of the orchestra, stand in front of them, and hope they follow me. It's just not the way a concerto should be. There's so much conversation and going on, and where the violin is not necessarily even the most important element, you know, in a concerto. Much of the time, he is the protagonist, but not always. And there's I've always believed in approaching it like chamber music.
Did you go back and listen to that early recording at all when you were prepping for this one?
I did not. I think it was sort of irrelevant. I mean,
right.
Frankly, just maybe painful to. It's always hard to listen to oneself, and especially when you've made a recording that's sort of so-called set in stone. You feel, oh, I should have done this, I should have done it this way. And I'm sure actors feel that way when they watch their movies, you know, it's the same thing. And so really the only remedy for that is to re-record it. That's what I did.
Well, it's interesting to go back and listen to the two of them back to back, which you obviously have not done. But maybe in your mind's ear, you can sort of, you know, intuitively how you've grown over the years. I mean, when I listen to it, I hear in this new recording a little bit more in the way of liberties that you take with the articulation and certain accents that you put in that were much more clean the first time around.
That were more clean the first time around? What is that?
I mean, they were much more kind of come scritto, and there wasn't as much of a little twist of rubato here.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think certainly there was probably more nuance, and probably I was allowed to, on top of it, to have a little more nuance because there was much more. I didn't have to worry so much about being together with the orchestra, you know, because we had done it, we had performed it enough, and I felt more freedom. But also, just growing as an artist, there's more, hopefully, more nuance, more contrasts, more understanding of the piece. I mean, I feel I understand the piece. At least I own it in a different way than I probably did when I was 19.
Yeah. Nuance is the word I was looking for, yes.
Okay. Well, what's the opposite of clean? I was worried about, you know, didn't want that.
No. It's a lovely recording, really.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it's funny. One of the things that stuck out to me, and I'd never noticed this before, was the fourth movement of that Scottish Fantasy is a marked Allegro Guerriero, or like a warlike Allegro,
yeah.
Which I don't think that exists anywhere else in the repertoire, does it?
Let's see. I think not in the violin repertoire. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking of the Scottish Symphony. I think if I remember correctly, I think the last movement has that same term.
Oh, okay.
Interestingly, I never thought about it till just now, actually. But it's kind of a warlike, you know, I guess the way I think of it is like Braveheart times warlike, you know, it's like a kind of enthusiastic going to war, like it's almost a dance as well. It's sort of like a war dance. It seems like an oxymoron, but it's the idea of a war dance. But it's somehow it's not just severe. It's sort of a celebration, but yet going to war.
It's a rallying cry.
Yeah, rally cry. So yeah.
The album is called Scottish Fantasy from Sony Classical, and it contains that Scottish Fantasy of Max Bruch, and also the Violin Concerto No. 1 from violinist Joshua Bell. Thanks so much for joining us today here on FM 91.
Thank you. Nice talking with you.